This is Don't Know What It Means to Win, written by Oopsie Daisy and read by Tipsy Kitty. The sounds of clanging metal showed no sign of letting up. There was nothing for it. Oluwande had to see what was going on. Steed had specifically instructed that he stay in the dinghy until he got the all clear, but it had been hours now, and Steed hadn't so much as poked his head back over the side of the Revenge. The sounds from above were worrying but indistinct, and his captain might need him, and Jim might be up there. "Stay here," he said to Buttons, though he may as well not have spoken. Buttons was engaged in a lively staring contest with Seabird. Oluwande was leaving the dinghy in good hands, that was for sure. He managed to climb up the side of the vessel with only a touch more grace than Steed had, and as he neared the top he was hoisted up by a pair of familiar arms. There was a moment where he was struck dumb by the magnitude of seeing Jim again. It had been almost a year since his last glimpse of their face, and reports of the goings-on aboard Blackbeard's ship had been scarce. For all Oluwande knew, they might have been dead. In the next moment, however, he was distracted by what ranked among the most surprising scenes he'd ever stumbled across. "What?" he said. "They've been at it for hours," Frenchie said, ambling toward Oluwande to help Jim lift him aboard. "But..." Steed had become a better pirate over the last few months, settling into command of a new vessel, and he'd even stabbed one or two unfortunate souls on purpose. Still, there were limitations that even the loftiest of pirating dreams couldn't overcome. Besting, or even matching, Blackbeard in a sword fight was not something Steed Bonnet should have been capable of. "By my count," Jim said, "Blackbeard should have killed Bonnet 59 times. Steed's had about 3 openings of his own," Frenchie added. "So they're just..." "For the sake of it, we think," Jim said. "Maybe for appearances?" said Frenchie. The rest of Blackbeard's crew had formed a confused semicircle on the other side of the deck, seemingly unsure of whether to step in. Oluwande found himself battling with the same dilemma. Every clash of the two captains' cutlasses seemed to be, surely, the final straw. Both looked exhausted, Steed more than Blackbeard, certainly, but there was plenty of sweat to be going around. As Oluwande watched, Steed slipped, exposing his side to a mortal wound, and Blackbeard just stopped, paused in action for the 5 or so seconds it took Steed to right himself. "This is ridiculous," Oluwande said. "We know," Jim replied. They hadn't let go of Oluwande, heedless of the fact that he was now firmly aboard the vessel. "But also kind of sweet," Frenchie hedged. "Why don't they just stop?" Oluwande asked. "Because then," came a voice from behind them, "they'd have to sit down and actually talk like adults, and that wouldn't be nearly as fun." Lucius had a point. Despite the fact that both were clearly flagging, there was a certain glint in Steed's eye that Oluwande hadn't seen since he'd broken the news to him about Blackbeard's return. He'd never seen someone look so deliriously happy during a fight to the death before. "Weren't you dead?" he asked, turning to Lucius. The rumors that had floated their way during the extended Blackbeard chase had been many and varied, but the fact of Lucius being dead had seemed relatively consistent. "Clearly," Lucius said, "I'm a ghost. Now shh, I'm trying to watch." "Have they even said anything to each other?" Oluwande asked. "Not really," Frenchie said. "Steed came aboard, called him Ed, and Blackbeard went mental on him. Only, you know, not the kind of mental that ends with a dead body." "The kind of mental you get when you're in love with someone," Lucius said, sounding positively dreamy over a man who had been widely reported to have thrown him overboard in a fit of pique. "Do we just watch them? Forever?" "No," Jim said. "I'll step in soon. Or Izzy will." They made no move to actually do so, however. And across from them, Izzy only stood there, glaring like his life depended on it. In the center of the ship, Steed feinted to the right and almost landed a hit, stopping his cutlass short at the very last moment.
"Good one," Blackbeard said.
Steed beamed. "Really, I did think so."
"Yeah, you almost got me,"
Blackbeard responded, just as happily. He sounded like Ed, even if he looked to all the world like the most bloodthirsty pirate who ever lived. As he spoke, he parried, and the sword fight continued with renewed vigor.
"I really think we should stop them," Oluwande said. Just give them a few more minutes, Frenchie suggested. Get it out of their systems. Blackbeard seemed to be gaining ground, backing Steed up against the mast. It's about to get sexual, Lucius trilled. Jesus, Aluwande said. Have you guys been all right? With him as captain and all? Oh, yeah, Lucius said. He got much better once he realized Deed was chasing him. Let me out of the secret passageways. Put me in charge of spreading the word about him so it might be heard by anybody who was desperately trying to find him. But only in a way that didn't make it seem like he was trying too hard, you know? Did you spread the rumor about your own death? Aluwande asked. Well, he did try to kill me, Lucius said. But we're over that. Look, I think they're about to kiss and make up. Aluwande looked. Blackbeard had hooked his cutlass around Steed's, and seemed to be attempting to divest Steed of his weapon. Their faces were perhaps unnecessarily close. He really has been better, Jim said, squeezing Aluwande's hand. You didn't need to worry. Yeah, of course not, Aluwande said, as though he hadn't spent every moment of every day of the last 11 months trying desperately to get back to them, to save them from whatever monster Blackbeard had become. All he could really do now was squeeze their hand right back. Unhand me, you scoundrel, Steed was saying cheerfully, his back now flushed with the mast. Never, Blackbeard said. He sounded genuine about it to a degree that made it feel invasive to hear. Never, Steed responded. This is actually really cute, said Frenchie, lifting the hem of his shirt to wipe at his eyes. By the time Aluwande looked back over at the two captains, they'd tossed their swords aside and were reaching for each other, falling into one another's arms with the inevitability and exhaustion of two idiots who'd been sword fighting for nearly 3 hours. Told you, Lucius commented. Do you think they're going to be co-captains again? Asked Frenchie. Aluwande pretended to give the question serious thought, mostly in order to avoid looking at where chaste clinging had quickly progressed to a display better not looked at. Seems like it. What are we going to do with the extra ship? Lucius asked, glancing at where the Royal James sat on the horizon. Sell it, Jim said. Or become a fleet, suggested Frenchie. That could be fun, Lucius said. Aluwande regarded him with suspicion. What? I really mean it. I'm genuinely excited for this new phase of our lives. We're all alive. The two captains are going at it on deck. Christ, they really are, aren't they? Frenchie put in. And we're all back together again, Lucius finished, sounding, for once, not in the least bit sarcastic. The end.